provide the better living challenge. Stores are located at 1706 Highway 70 West in Camden. Their hours of operation are Sunday from 11 to 5, Monday through Thursday from 10 until 6, and Friday from 9 until 1. We're providing life-changing natural health information that will enable you to have more energy and a greater degree of health and wellness. Now, here's your host, Peter Lewis.
Good morning and welcome back to the Better Living Radio Program. My name is Peter Lewis and I'm pleased to be able to join you once again, dear listeners. Today we continue our discussion on health, and I think health is fairly simple. The things that really matter does not require rocket scientists to figure these things out. They are fairly simple. Those things that will make the greatest impact upon our health are fairly simple. And you know, as we have talked about, when we came forth from the Creator's hands, there were laws that govern the operation of our bodies. And those laws or principles do not vary, and when we find ourselves on the other side of those laws or principles, then in the fullness of time we do see the consequences. As Proverbs 26 and verse 2 says, the curse causeless shall not come. That means for every effect there is a cause. I think it is the Job says, Job 29:16, the cause which I knew not, I search it out. So it's not enough not to know the cause and just try to beat in the dark and trying to correct something without knowing the cause. Job, the wise man, said if he don't know the cause, he search it out. And Solomon tells us if he don't know the cause, he search it out too. The curse causeless will not come. And so when it comes on to health, it's the same principle that governs health. You know, Paul in Galatians tells us that whatsoever man sow, that shall he reap. These are laws that govern our very existence. If you plant corn, you cannot expect to reap apples or tomato. Whatsoever we sow is the thing that we reap. Sometimes we do not know how the causative factor function, but nevertheless, it is a law that whatsoever we sow, that is what we reap. Now, of course, there are exceptions, as was in the case with Job's illness was to bring glory and honor to his Creator. So, as I mentioned, that it's fairly simple, the issue of health. And some of these things we have talked about before. Those things that matters most is the nutrition, sunlight, exercise, water, temperance, and trust in divine power, pure air, rest. These are the eight laws that govern the physiological function of the body. Just let's take it for a moment. Water, for instance, in a 100-pound person in perfect health, there would be 75 pounds of his body is water. 25% would be minerals. Okay, 60% of that would be calcium. So calcium enters into almost all the functions of the body. Calcium is a very key nutrient, okay? But let's look at the water issue. So much of our body is water. And when you drink water, you can offset a lot of evils that would come upon us from other causes. For example, when a person is just reckless in their diet and eating all kind of junk food and junkies or just eating food that just don't have the nutrients. And so, no, if a person like that is not drinking water, the effects of those will be seen quickly versus if they are drinking lots of water. All right, let's look at, for example, person eating a bad diet, not drinking water, lots of junk food. So several values in their chemistry would change to reflect their dietary practices, such as we look at the bloodstream getting thicker, the salts, electrolytes, becoming more and more concentrated when it should be, let's say, a 6.5, this on our scale, let's say it's now up into the 30s and 40s. Now that's much too high. This person is not drinking enough water, they're eating all kind of food, the nutrients are not there, and it's being reflected in the salt reading. Now, what would that salt do? I have said this several times on this program, that high salt, an account of dehydration, everything getting concentrated in the blood, would have a tendency. Number one, it causes cellular agglutination, clumping together of the blood cells, red blood cells. So now instead of going in single files, they begin to cluster together. That's one factor that high salt, which primarily is due to, while the bad diet contributes to it, but compounding the effect of the bad diet is when a person not drinking water, because it doesn't go anywhere if the person is not drinking water. Everything just stay within the tissue fluids. The blood, the lymph, the interstitial fluid, everything just tend to stay there. Okay, so in this case, that high salt produces some destructive effects upon the body, one of which in the bloodstream causes cellular agglutination or clustering of your red blood cells. Another effect of that high salt, as I've spoken about it on several occasions, is that high salt penetrate the blood vessel walls and causes to dry them out. It dehydrates the blood vessel walls, especially those vessels lined with smooth muscles. So you find that when the high salts, you know, you put salt, you want to pull something, you want to get rid of the blood out to meet, you soak it in salt water. So in that case, the salt, high salt, pickle the tissue, dehydrate the tissue, the blood vessel walls, and nature, our body, communicate that issue to the brain, which communicates it to the liver, that we're having problem with the integrity of this blood vessel walls here, and the blood is no longer circulating in that artery like it's supposed to, because that artery now has lost its elasticity or is losing its elasticity. So now nature has to do something. Our own liver goes to work on the instruction of the brain, and begin to build cholesterol molecules and dump it out in the bloodstream, and then it is carried along and is deposited, it penetrates the blood vessel wall and is deposited inside of the blood vessel walls by the thousands. And so you find that the cholesterol molecule begin to build up and build up and build up as a repair action of nature to correct the problem that was caused by the high salt. Of course, nobody listens to nature. Who drinks water? Who need water? So folks say, you know, Coke is water, you know, this is water, Mellow Yellow, whatever the soda or other liquid that people drink, they say that's water. But your body doesn't view it in that way. That which does not flush out that the excess salts and impurities and toxins of the out of the body, I'm sorry, it's not water. So then, as I mentioned, so this is what usually happened. This is what usually happened. So an account of the high salts, of which there are 49 different tissue salts in the body, sodium chloride is just one, though it plays a major role. Deposit cholesterol molecule one after another, piece by piece. Not only do we have a situation with the blood being thickened, now on top of that we have cholesterol deposits on the blood vessel wall. And because nobody listens to nature, it continues to deposit and deposit until it clogs the artery entirely. And there you go, somebody got a heart attack, or somebody got a stroke, somebody got an aneurysm. Because the other side of the situation is that if the salts collect in the vein, thus weakening them, then an aneurysm could occur. So the point is this, that even with a bad diet, if a person is drinking water, though, because the solution here is to drink sufficient pure soft water to lower the salts, and if the salts are lowered and kept low over a period of time, nature will remove the cholesterol molecule piece by piece, bit by bit, just the same way it deposited it on the blood vessel wall. You see? And it will do it at a gradual rate so that there's not uneven healing of the lining. It will do it providing nutrients are there to heal and to repair the blood vessel wall. And as it does that, then there's no longer a need for that cholesterol deposit. And surely enough, over a period of time, that artery can become as clean, as clear as a baby's artery. You see what I'm saying? Because so it's not by accident that, you know, the plaque buildup on the arterial wall. It's by design. It's by the intelligence of the Creator in trying to correct the problems which resulted from our 21st century ways of living. Okay? Now, so the persons then may wonder, man, and how much water am I supposed to drink? You know, I mean, we've talked about this many times. How much water? Usually, half the body weight in ounces is the amount of water that a person should try to consume under normal circumstances. Half your body weight, so if your weight is 160, half of 160, that is 80 ounces. And while you can add some healthy fluids is a part of that, the great majority, minimum of 2/3, should be in pure, straight, soft water. Okay? The reason why soft water works so well is because it enters into reaction. It is able to flush out and to carry out the impurities much more efficiently than any other water. So therefore, you may ask, what do you mean by soft water? When I say soft water, I mean like distilled water, because that's the softest you can get in water. Distilled water, as you know, it will enter into reaction more readily because it's just pure H2O. We're not talking about the deionized distilled water. We're talking about like steam distilled water, which is typically what you get in the grocery store. Now, of course, unfortunately, they don't have the distilled water in the small bottles that folks normally buy, you know, 24 small containers of water. But the next best thing to the distilled would be the reverse osmosis. And some of those waters are reverse osmosis purification. At least reverse osmosis is a part of the process of their purification. So if a person is not smart enough or not determined enough to, okay, I buy my distilled water and I put it in smaller container, then if they have to have the ones that are just packaged, prepackaged, then they can get the one that is purified by reverse osmosis as a part of their process of purifying the water. Yeah, reverse osmosis is good. But distilled water is typically your softest. It will enter into reaction more readily. It will do the job of flushing out the excess salts and so on within the body. Now you may say, essentially then we can conclude that a major cause of heart attack and the cardiovascular disease number one is dehydration. Yes, friends, that's what I'm saying, and that's what's it's been known. And folks, Loma Linda University has done a 6-year study recently, I think came out in 2000, which showed that lack of water will do more to cause cardiovascular problem, heart attack, plaque buildup in the artery, than quitting tobacco, quitting alcohol, and the other bad vices. So dehydration is seen as, based on this research, as a major cause of heart attacks, plaque buildup in the arteries. You can Google Loma Linda's study, water and cardiovascular conditions. So that's one study that brings that out. Another study that brings that out, Dr. Matthias Rath, in his book, Why Animals Don't Get Heart Attacks But Humans Do, he described the process of the plaque build up. Of course, he doesn't exactly look at it as we do, but he does describe the process, how the plaque is built up, that it's a repair action of nature, which is due to a vitamin C deficiency. That's his line. And essentially, that's what happens when, for the cells in the walls of the artery to begin to die off, to lose their integrity, vitamin C is the substance that holds cell to cell, that binds cell to cell. So if the cells are dying off, losing their integrity, key number one, you're going to see a lack of vitamin C. So vitamin C, which form the chelating substance that hold our cells together, definitely is what happens, a loss of vitamin C. But the reason why the damage to the arterial wall is due to dehydration, due to lack of water. So the cells begin to die off. When cells are dying off, you're losing vitamin C. You see what I'm saying? Vitamin C, copper, we're losing our copper. Copper gives the tissue their ability to stretch, both in the trees, in nature, as well as in the human body. So copper becomes a very important mineral. So while Dr. Matthias Rath, as a scientist, he has described the process very well and conclude that this cholesterol on the arterial wall is nothing but the repair action of nature to correct something that has resulted from our condition, our ways of living, and so on and so forth. So So then, how do I drink my water? A lot of people tend to be afraid of drinking water because they don't want to go to the bathroom when they leave home. You know, you hear that a lot. I don't want to drink water when I'm going out from the house. But friends, you know, it may be a legitimate answer, but the downside of that is that if you don't drink water, you run the potential risk of losing your health. And I've just touched on the cardiovascular side of that. Without water, you cannot have a strong gastric juice, so your digestion become compromised. Without water, your blood gets so thick, pretty soon you get so much inflammation all over your body that you get diagnosed with various and sundry condition. So water goes into every department of our life. So here's some ideas as to how to make sure you're getting your water. Ideas. Once a person wakes up in the morning, they should begin to drink water. Usually, because everything is concentrated throughout the night, you can drink a larger amount than 8 ounces or a little more, depending upon your size and so on. You can put a squeeze of lemon in there if you want. Lemon is great for the liver. And you could drink it down. And then after that, then you try to drink small quantities of water. Measure out how much you're supposed to have according to your body weight. And then what you do, you simply drink small quantities. Better to drink smaller quantity frequently than to drink a larger quantity. Let's say, for example, this is what I'm talking about. Let's say I'm supposed to drink two quarts of water, 64 ounces a day, a half a gallon. All right, let's say, man, my schedule is so busy. I only got 3 times where I can really gulp down my water. So I drink a third of that, let's say, third of 64, let's say 21, thereabout. I drink 20 ounces of water one time. And then midday, I drink another 20 ounces. And then in the evening, let's say 6 o'clock, I'd get my other 20 ounces in. I've gotten just about my complete 64 ounces, or I drink 24 ounces. Okay, let's make it correct. So I got now my 64 ounces of water in for the day. I got it down. The problem with that situation is, that I drank all that water in 3 drink. And so what generally happens, as most of us know, when you drink that 20 ounces, you're going to end up in the bathroom. And the next time you drink that other 20 ounces, you're going to end up in the bathroom quite often. And the next one you drink, you're going to end up in the bathroom quite often. Nature can only handle so much in a given period of time. So, you know, pretty much just send it out through the kidney. Now, if you did it this other way, if you drink smaller quantity, let's say maybe 4 ounces, 3 ounces, based on your weight. Well, if you do it every half an hour, that's what we call a water flush out. But let's say if you drink even as much as 8 ounces per hour throughout the day, or you will have a better usage of your water that way than drinking it in larger quantity less frequently. You can think about it this way. Let's say a four inch rainfall throughout the day, all right, versus a 4 inch rainfall that came down all in 2 hours. Which would benefit the plant the most? Which one would stay with the soil the longest? We can conclude that the one where the water fell gradually, slowly throughout an 8-hour period all day is much better for the soil, for the plant, than the one that fell the same 4 inches of rainfall that fell in 2 hours. We're just like the plant, friends. So the situation is, so I encourage you, You drink your water throughout the day. Can you drink other liquid? Yeah, you can drink other liquid. You can intersperse it, but healthy liquid, not the bad liquid. But then yet still, even if you're drinking the bad liquid, you know, it takes some time to wean off of the bad liquid, then just at least make it a duty to get in the good water. You see, and by the way, my philosophy is any water is better than no water. So don't stress yourself, oh man, I got to go and get some distilled water or reverse osmosis water. No, as long as your water is clean, it's better to drink some water than no water. You see what I'm saying? So you will get tremendous benefit. What are some of the benefits of drinking water? You'll have more energy. Your bowels will move better. Your digestion will improve, especially those who are noticing the effects of poor digestion, heartburn and acid reflux. Those who are observing those things there will, and especially if you know you're not drinking enough water, just by adding the water in, it can significantly improve that particular condition. You see what I'm saying? So we just want to encourage you to drink water. I started off by saying that God created us, our Creator, and the things that are necessary to make us well and healthy is not complicated. It's just simply water, fresh air, sunlight, rest, exercise, trust in divine power, and good nutrition. These are the simple eight doctors, we call them. And when you get sick, they are there to minister to you. When you're well, it is because they have been there to keep you well, to encourage you to stay well. So you can do the research, looking at chemistry and so on. These things are very important. Another effect of the lack of water is tiredness and sluggish. Again, all right, sluggishness, tiredness, wake up in the morning, tired, druggy, no energy to get out of bed. You know, sometimes I've heard of parents having to wake their children 2 hours in advance of the time that they're supposed to get up because the child is so tired. Their urea, this is the other factor, when your water levels go down, the urea, or nitrogen factor within the blood, tend to increase. Nitrogen, excess nitrogen, thickens the blood, thickens fluid. And so this is one of the situations that will occur. You can tell what's going on by looking at the color of your urine. If you, you know, you look at the color of your urine, and bright yellow, and or you're smelling that high ammonia, that's nitrogen. The higher the ammonia content or the nitrogen content gets within the system, the thicker the body fluid, the thicker the blood gets. And even apart from the cholesterol issue, apart from the buildup of the cholesterol, that urea can cause the blood, or nitrogen can cause the blood to get so thick that the heart go into a spasm and you have a heart attack while your arteries are clear. You see what I'm saying? And this one that generally gives you that warning sign in chest pain or some pain in that left arm. You know, these are some of the situation. Another way you can tell what's going on with the urea is when you pee in the commode, there's an excessive amount of foam that does not dissipate. That those are typically warning signs saying that the urea is pretty high and a person need to begin to drink water. The thing about it is, okay, when the ureas are high, there's an element, magnesium, will release the excess nitrogen, so magnesium will quickly enable the tension off of the heart to be released. You know, you heard about dolomite typically is used not for calcium but for the magnesium. And the dolomite will release the high urea unit for unit, pound for pound, and thus lower the urea to where the heart now is functioning better. One of the factors that usually happen is that the heart usually beat hard when the urea is high, because that urea is stimulating the heart muscle to the point where, I mean, it's pounding, you know. The physician listens to the heart and I said, man, you have a healthy heart. You have a strong heart, beating mighty strong. But what is going on is usually being overstimulated, and it can put a person into a range for heart attack as well. You know, that's one of the things that occur with crib debt. The ureas become so high that the baby's heart go into a spasm and quit, because the mother was not drinking sufficient water, and the baby gets what the mother is doing. The baby reap that consequence, and so that's what happened. So these are simple things. So look how many things could be spared by just learning to drink water. And most parents don't even think about this, to tell their children to drink water. I mean, if you know, parents who love their children, as you get to understand things like this here, you would want to encourage your children to drink water. But when the children don't drink water, another effect of the high salt steps in. They become hyper. They got so much current flowing over their nerve that they're bouncing like ping-pong ball all over the place. They can't be focused. And so, you know, children will get diagnosed of having one condition or another. But they just need to change their lifestyle. They need to begin to drink water. Can there be too much water? Yes, there can be too much water. The downside of drinking too much water also exists, but it's very rare, because not a lot of people seem to have water as something important on their menu for the day. You know, there's one thing I always have with me, and that is a water bottle, regardless of where I go. Even while I'm home, if I'm in one room, I got my water bottle in there, so I can drink my water as I need to. I don't leave it to chance. I don't leave it in the next room and say, okay, I'll get it when I get back there. I may never get back to that room for a long time. So I made sure, in front of me right now, I make sure I have my water. The other situation that this will benefit is it gives a person more energy. It takes water to make energy. I mean, just imagine that blood being so thick, heart having to beat so hard, work so hard, that it can't pump that thickened blood. You can't have energy. But you begin to drink water and flush the system, and you notice that your energy level comes back up. So many people say they have no energy. My first question to them is, how much water are you drinking? You see, friends, so simple. I have not told you about all the scientific things, which there's nothing wrong with them, but the things that matters most in our day-to-day life is fairly simple. It's not hard, it's not complicated. What is there not difficult to understand in drinking water? Our bodies are 75% water in perfect health, so that tells me that we can't live without water. When the levels go down, then we begin to have problems, because that's not how the Creator made us. The Creator made us, our bodies in perfect health has a certain amount of water. So when we begin to vary away from the Creator's plan, then we can expect, we should expect problems to begin to show up on the scene. You see what I'm saying, friends? So let me take a drink of this water, please. Oh, wow. That's so good. That's all I drink. Water. You know, there's a time, though, when you can drink some juice. sugar level drops too low, or you run out of energy all of a sudden, which generally indicate that, you know, instead of going and eating an apple or something, you can easily drink some juice, raise the sugar level back up. And so there's time for juices, there's time for teas, there's time for a lot of things that we can do, but we should just make intelligent choices and drink that which would provide the most good for our bodies. You know, ladies even having hot flashes and so on. If they're not drinking water, it just makes the hot flash more symptomatic. But if they start drinking lots of water, it may benefit them where they don't see very much of their hot flash symptoms. So, listeners, you know, I like to talk about these simple things because it is what makes difference in our lives. It really is. So we just want to encourage you to take care of the temple. You are God's temple, friends. You don't belong to you. I mean, we're bought with a price, whether you believe the gospel or not, but we are bought with a price, the price of our Savior. He gave His life for us. So therefore, the life which we now live, it should be a life to give glory and honor to Him. Listeners, we do appreciate you joining us, and we want to encourage you to join us next week at the same time. If you have questions or comments, you may contact me at Better Living Natural Food Store, 731-279-0350. Thank you, and God bless you.
Good. Worked out well.
Yeah, that's good.